Welcome to the Monster Hunter Podcast Show. It's episode 5 for the 27th of August, 2010. Hi, and welcome to the Monster Hunter Podcast. I'm Christian from Game Design Reviews.
Hi, this is Social Dissonance, also known as Shepard, from YouTube.
And we are usually three Monster Hunter enthusiasts who decided to come together on a weekly basis to discuss strategies and share our experience. However, unfortunately today Nick cannot join us, so we are just it's just the two of us today, and we are going to do a show where we are going to answer listener emails. We have been on a short break recently. There was a video game trade fair called Gamescom, as you might have heard, and it just happened to take place in Cologne, the city I live in. So I was busy checking out the newest games. However, I was a little bit disappointed to see that there were no news about new Monster Hunter games, because Capcom didn't have a stand on the show. Isn't that disappointing?
Yeah, I mean, we know that there is something coming down the pike, at least in Japan. And yeah. With any indication of how well the PSP version of the Monster Hunter series is sold, we can pretty much assume that it will be coming. It's just a matter of when, I would say.
Yeah. I also was hoping maybe to receive some information, maybe some news about... I would be very interested to try the Xbox version of Monster Hunter.
Oh, yeah, the Frontier version. That's the MMO version of Monster Hunter.
Exactly. And it's out in Japan only, from what I heard. And I was hoping for maybe some kind of information about, bringing this title to America and Europe.
Hmm. I think they have possibly some other Asian region versions. I think they have a Korean version, as far as I know, and they might... I think it's probably just, Japan and Korea. China has kind of reverse engineered the Monster Hunter formula and created their own version of Monster Hunter as an MMO.
A Chinese Monster Hunter? Wow.
It's if you see it, it's almost bizarre because it's different. Like, the monsters look more like dinosaur-like or prehistoric-like, but almost all the animations for everything are exactly the same. All the weapons are the same. All the moves are the same. Everything's the same, except they're just using different models, and they charge whatever the yuan or the RMB, whatever they do for that. And it's completely unlicensed from Capcom, and it's violating a great many of copyright laws. But I mean, if it's in China and it's all only within China, there's not much Capcom can do.
This is bizarre. Do you know the name of this game?
It's like Hunter Blade or something like that. I might be able to look. Yeah, it's... It's similar to Monster Hunter. It's certainly, if you take a look for it, like if you go to YouTube or something, type in like Chinese Monster Hunter or something, like you'll see something pop up. We might be able to look up the name after the show, and you can put it in the show notes.
We're definitely going to try. Yeah. Well, I haven't seen anything at Gamescom, and it was kind of disappointing. It seems like in general that the Japanese developers aren't very interested in Gamescom yet. Maybe it will change after some time.
Yeah, hopefully.
All right, so as we said, Nick can't join us today, but in order not to keep you guys waiting, we decided to answer some of the listener emails we got. We have a huge collection, and we thought we used the opportunity to concentrate a little bit on them. So here's our first one. Are you ready?
I am ready to go.
All right. So here's a listener called Lemon Scented Death.
That's nice. I like that name.
Yeah, already. And he asked us on Tumblr, I recently achieved Hunter rank 18 online and unlocked the 3-star quests. My question is, does the game scale the monster's health and stamina with the number of hunters fighting it? Also, when fighting solo, it feels as if the monsters are given an increase in health compared to fighting them offline. Am I imagining this?
The answer to that question, as far as I know, is that the monsters have a basically fixed amount of health based on what the quest would normally be and that it might, and I can't say this for certainty, and I'm not sure that anyone can say it for absolute certainty unless they cheated, it might vary slightly just based on their size.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, depending on what quest you're on, they're going to have almost exactly the same amount of health, because I actually have gone online and soloed a couple of monsters. Like, I think one night I couldn't find anyone to hunt a high rank Giganox with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I soloed the Giganox on high rank online, and it took me about 20 to 25 minutes. I mean, I don't know, maybe I wasn't on my game or whatever, but you know, generally if you're with four people, you can beat them in about 8 to 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So certainly he had a greatly increased amount of life. So the only difference is, and this is kind of strange, it depends a lot of in your group, but there's like diminishing returns with the amount of hunters that you add to your party.
Mm.
And the reason for that is that there's only a certain amount of body space on a monster at any one time.
Yeah, exactly.
That people could be attacking. And actually, depending on the people that you're adding to your team, the time might actually be increased. Like if they're using a long sword and they're constantly spamming the spirit combo and they're knocking down all the other three players, it's not four players attacking a monster, it's only one.
Mm.
So, you know, if you went three minus the longsword, you might actually have beaten the monster faster. I mean, those are all things to consider when you're going into a group, is like, how am I going to make this fight easier for the other players rather than harder? And that's actually why I almost exclusively use the bowgun online now, because you're usually not going to be getting it in anyone's way.
Well, yeah, so it definitely depends on your team setup and you know, how, you know, the skills of the individual team members. And also the thing he asked, yes, of course, the monsters online have more health than the monsters offline.
Yeah, let me, I mean, just to get into the pure mathematics of it, starting from offline 1-star to online 6-star, what changes between the monsters is all the monsters have like a base HP throughout all of them.
Mm-hmm.
What changes is they have an HP multiplier based on the level of the star quest. Like I think 1-star offline is something like 0.5 or 0.6 of the monster's normal health.
Mm-hmm.
It might even be lower. But as you get online, it goes up to like 1.1, 1.2, 1.3. In addition to their health being changed, there's also a armor multiplier as well. So this is figured into the damage formula, whereas, you know, depending on the difficulty of the quest, they'll take less damage in addition to having more life.
Mm-hmm. Wow, so it's actually a very complex system behind all of this.
Yeah, as far as we can tell, that's essentially how it goes. It's like a push-pull system of both health and armor, depending on the monster.
Yeah, so definitely the, you know, the health, the stats of the monsters changed depending on what kind of mission you take. I noticed it for the first time playing actually offline. At the end of the offline mode, you will there are these missions where you have to fight two monsters at the same time. And in those quests, the monsters have actually less health, so it's a little bit easier to fight them at the same time.
Yeah, originally I was reading on, I believe it was the MindGuard forums, and they were under the impression that the monsters didn't have reduced health.
Hmm.
But that would just be ridiculously difficult to beat, like especially for the people that only have Monster Hunter try for the offline version and they don't have the online weapons. Like it would be so difficult to beat those if they were like two full strength Diablos or like a full strength Uragon and a full strength Ignactor. Like that would be like, that'd be very difficult for anyone to do. But
yeah.
Fortunately, most of the time, they don't have too many of them in this version. But what they would call them are like marathon quests or things of that sort. Usually the monsters in those sort of quests will have slightly reduced life. It wouldn't be exactly added up to one of the monster's health. It might be like 0.6 and 0.6. So it's like slightly more life than you would have to normally contend with. But actually in some ways, and this is what I normally did in Unite, it would be better to fight the dual monster quests. Because the monsters individually had so much less life, it was a lot easier to make them flinch.
Ah.
And also to inflict status ailments on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Or various things. There was one late game bowgun you can use that shot all the various elements. And there was actually my favorite quest to fight. I think it was like Blood Arena or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You would fight one of a number of different types of monsters, and each one of them was weak to a different element. And so with this one bowgun, I would rock in and I would like shoot all of my various, you know, 60 shots of all the different elements. And it was It's a lot of variety. It was a lot of fun. And I hope for the people that play Tri, whenever Capcom releases an expansion to Tri, if they ever release an expansion to Tri, that they'll offer more quests of that type, the greater variety of quests of monsters in each quest, rather than just going and fighting just one or just two.
Well, yes, they're definitely very interesting strategic challenges. And maybe we're going to mention them at some point on our regular shows. So moving on to the next question, we have a question from Terry Smith, and he emailed us the following. Quick question, I recently made the Akros lands and noticed in the description of Doris Spear R and Doris Spear Y, there is a little blurb for attack bonus and affinity bonus plus 15% respectively. What are these weapon bonuses, and in my case, what line should I go for?
Do you know the answer to this, Christian?
I think you might
at this point.
Actually, I have no idea what affinity bonus is. I saw this this difference, and I haven't never actually figured out what.
Are you kidding me? Have I not discussed this yet? The affinity?
No, I don't think so.
Oh wow! Okay. So what affinity is on a weapon, it can be either positive or negative. We'll start with the positive. Mm-hmm. Basically, it's your chance to inflict a critical attack. Mm-hmm. And what that is that adds an additional multiplier to your damage of 1.25. Mm-hmm. So it's like 1.25 attacks. Conversely, if you have negative affinity, you have a chance to do, it wouldn't be a critical attack. I don't know. What would we even call that? An uncritical attack? A failed attack?
A fail, yeah.
A failed attack, and that will add a 0.75 times multiplier to your total damage. And the way you can notice when those things go out is a critical attack will add kind of like a red flash, mm-hmm. and an uncritical attack or a failed attack will add like a purple flash. Mm-hmm. And generally, this is my basic analysis of the scenario, is you want to get as much affinity as you can, but not at expense of raw power. Mm-hmm. Because when you do the damage formula out, you find that almost always the raw power boost is going to do more damage over time than the affinity boost. The only time that that's not necessarily the case, like if you were to be considering adding attack up large versus critical I plus 3, that is like adding a huge attack bonus or adding a huge affinity bonus, is the very low damage weapons, especially bowguns. Bowguns are, it's a matter of the damage multiplier. Bowguns are much better affected by affinity than by the other types, only because you're attacking so often, mm-hmm. and they get such a small boost from raw power anyways that you're better off going with affinity. Mm-hmm. But for anybody that is looking at their weapon and say, do I get the raw boost or do I get the affinity boost? Go with the raw boost. Now, just a special note as for the Arcus Lance, and I'm not sure if he's past the point for this yet. There's actually a third variation of that Lance that is better than either of those, but you have to wait until you get high rank to do it anyways.
Yeah, I saw that one, yeah. It was also recommended in the source when I was looking for it.
Right, so if he's, if he's not at that point where he's in high rank and he's just making these spears just to have them, definitely go for that third kite type. I don't know. I can't remember the name, but in any case, the only exception to this rule, mm-hmm. If you're not looking to do elemental damage, which you should because it's fun, but if you don't care, is the Baryoth weapons mm-hmm. have such a high level of affinity to them that they are almost, not always, but they're pretty much the ideal raw damage healing weapon anyways, despite having somewhat subpar raw damage, only because I think their base level at high rank is like 50% affinity or like 60% affinity. Mm-hmm. And if you add critical eye plus 3 on that, that's like 90% affinity. Like at that point, what I do is I take that weapon and I consider it always doing a critical attack with an occasional non-critical attack that does slightly less damage.
Okay, so
you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. So at this point, you would probably go for an attack bonus.
Yeah. That's a good question. I mean, for me, if I'm going for raw damage anyways, I'm using the Rathalos set that gives attack up large and critical eye plus 3 anyways.
Okay.
I definitely evade the debate between the two. But generally, if you're going by just purely the math, if focus on the raw damage and you'll do fine.
Okay.
Unless you're using bogus, in which case I think, you know, it'll work out better if you use Critical Eye.
Is there any way to look up your actual affinity of weapon in the stats menu?
Absolutely. I mean, if you go to your status or you go to equipment details, will show you the base affinity.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I believe if you go to status, it'll tell you your adjusted affinity for your armor skills.
Okay, so you will see exactly the percentage of, you know, the likelihood of dealing a critical attack, right?
Exactly. Yeah, okay. it'll say right on the weapon when you make it or when you improve it, and it'll say whatever your actual affinity is at that moment, because there are skills that will modify it.
Okay, that's a perfect explanation, I guess. Okay, then the next question would be from Chaos Zakimon. Hey, this is Chaos Zakimon or Zaki Orikalum from YouTube. I basically have two questions, and they both mostly go to Shepard.
Okay.
All right. Shepard, you talk a lot about little multipliers and that certain weapons get for certain things, like the great sword hitting in the middle of the blade and the sword and shield hitting with a sword. Can you give somewhere a big list of all those multipliers?
Those are the biggest ones. If you go to the GameFAQs website and you go to, I believe it's the damage formula fact by, is it Vampire Cosmonaut? One of them, or he's the one that did the bowgun damage formula.
Mm-hmm.
And then the damage formula fact is by Lord Groff. What you're looking for and what I'm discussing are the various, they're called the variable additions to the damage formula. And besides Greatsword, and besides Sword and Shield, I think the only one that gets one is the Longsword, and that's just through the various additions of the Spirit Gauge.
Mm-hmm.
Right after you get a new level of the Spirit Gauge, you get a brief multiplier there as well, in addition to your other one. So not only is your damage increasing, but you get a brief period of time, and I don't know what that brief period of time is, where your damage is also increased for increasing your level of charge.
Okay, so basically the two things that he mentioned are the most, you know, the most important things, right?
Yeah, I mean, well, I take that back. I guess switch axes, which, you know, I would like to bury and never discuss again. If some of them will have an attack boost on them under the file, and when you're in switch axe mode, those will get an additional variable added for their attack boost. Hammers, as far as I know, do not get one. Lances have their own special category where, depending on what part you're hitting, this is very rare. We had a whole episode, and I don't remember what episode it was, probably episode 3. I think it was episode 3, where I discussed what parts of the lance are better. But basically, the lance can switch between cutting or impact if the impact damage is much greater than the cutting damage.
Mm-hmm.
I think the greatest part was actually on Goebel's back, which surprised me greatly.
Yeah, that's really weird. Okay, so he has also a different question.
Hold on a second.
Oh.
Bowguns.
Bowguns?
Bowguns get different variables based on range for normal shot or pierce shot.
Mm-hmm.
For normal shot, you want to be as close to the monster as you can possibly bear. And usually the way that this is measured in terms of distance is rolls, standard rolls, not with evade distance up, but just standard rolls away.
Mm-hmm.
I believe for normal shots, it's 0 to 3 rolls is maximum damage, and it actually gets a 1.5 times multiplier. I think 3 to 5 gets 1.0, and then anything greater than 5 rolls away, I think gets like 0.6. I can't remember. I don't have the formula in front of me. And for Pierce is really strange. I don't know why they did this, but from 0 to like 3 rolls away, something like this. Again, check the formula if you really want to know. You get a 1 multiplier. Mm-hmm. From 3 to 5 or 3 to 6, you get 1.5. So actually for Pierce, you want to be standing a little bit far away. And then beyond that, it's down to 0.6. And the way you can kind of tell that you're in the right zone for shooting is you'll actually see a brighter flash from when the shot connects with the monster than others.
Mm-hmm.
And as for other shots, elemental shots and all the other ones, I don't believe those are affected much at all by range, but I could be wrong.
Okay, but we're certainly going to put the GameFAQ articles in as links on our show notes for you to check out.
Yeah, and just let me say, just for my own personal benefit and for all the people that have used them and not had the chance to thank them, like, on behalf of all these people, I'd like to thank Vampire Cosmonaut and Lord Groff for putting it together. This is, like, absolutely incredible formulas. Like, I've referenced them continually while playing and also for these shows. Excellent tutorials, and they continue to revise them as well.
Wow.
Because as soon as we got Try, there was a lot of new information, and we thought there was a lot of things that were changed, and so we created these formulas, or they created these formulas, and then it was found out that they weren't as changed as we thought they were, so they unchanged them. So good job to those guys.
All right. Okay.
All right, part two.
Part two is something you might like, because we've been discussing this before. He writes, I've heard you say before about Monster Hunter Freedom Unite before, yeah. So I would assume you've played it before.
I have more hours than I would like to admit.
I recently got a copy, and I know in Monster Hunter Try, one of the main elements that you want to get is fire-based weapon, because so many monsters are weak to fire. So in Monster Hunter Freedom Unite, is there one or two central elements besides dragon that I should really get because more of the larger monsters are weak to them?
Absolutely. I think thunder is a really useful element to get. I think that for the longest time, whenever people were coming into Monster Hunter Unite, the standard weapon that people were recommending, and actually this has changed a little bit because it used to be Monster Hunter Freedom 2 that people recommended this, but still to some extent is something called, I think, the Eager Cleaver. Mm. It's the Thunder Element Longsword. And, you know, it really depends on what sort of weapon you want to use. But in general, I found that Thunder is an extremely versatile element to have in Unite. Tigrex is weak to it, and he's a real jerk. Rathalos and Rathian take somewhat decent damage from it. There's all sorts of crabs that take a lot of damage from it. Plesioth takes a lot of damage from it. It really, if you have a good thunder weapon and a good fire weapon, you'll pretty much be all set. The only difference is the big rocky guys like Gravios and Bezerios, you want to use water on them, mm-hmm. but you're probably going to be using either a bow gun or a bow for them anyways. So get a water ranged weapon, and then you get fire and thunder melee weapons, and you'll be...
Oh, hello?
All right, so we got briefly disconnected, but I'm just going to go back into what sort of elements you're going to want for Monster Hunter Unite. And what you really need is a fire and then a thunder elemental melee weapons, because between all the monsters that you're going to be fighting melee, there are a lot of crustaceans, and then there's a lot of dragon types. Between all those, you can get away with really just fire and thunder. And then the monsters that you're going to be fighting in long range, Gravios and Bezerios, you're going to be using water.
Okay.
So whether you're going to use bows or bow guns, I prefer bow guns myself, but if you want to take a little bit extra time and not spend the money on shots, you can use bows as well.
Mm-hmm.
The only difference is ice isn't really needed in low rank. High rank, you start fighting a thunder monster called the Rajong. He's like a mix between a lion and a monkey and a bull. A lot of those different things. And he's really weak to ice. But other than that, you don't really need any ice weapons at all. Unless you want to kill a Kukku really quickly, I guess, for some reason.
Okay.
So yeah, fire and thunder for low rank, you know, Tigrex is weak to thunder, Rathalos is weak to thunder, Raytheon's weak to thunder.
That's what I wanted to mention. Raytheon and Raytheon are also weak to thunder in Monster Hunter Try.
Yeah, and you know, there's a lot of people that say thunder is a poor man's dragon element, and to some extent they're right, at least in Try, but it's not that much worse than dragon. I mean, it's still decent. It's still extra damage that you're doing.
Hmm.
And in terms of fire and unite, you know, who else? Gipseros is weak to fire. Who's that snow monkey guy?
Well,
Maganga is weak to fire.
I must say, I haven't played the game yet, but we've discussed already that maybe at some point when, you know, when Monster Hunter Try, maybe, you know, when we... when we talked about every impossible topic in Monster Hunter Tri, maybe we will move on a little bit to Monster Hunter Freedom Unite or other Monster Hunter games. It would be very interesting to rediscover them a little bit.
Well, I mean, I'm hoping within the next 2 months that Monster Hunter Portable 3rd will be released. And when that happens, I'm going to be importing that. And I can kind of drop additional tidbits from whatever I'm learning from that. I mean, who even knows how well I can do in that, because I don't read or speak Japanese at all. But I'm just hoping that my years of experience in Monster Hunter will be enough to get me through those quests. And I might even do videos of those as well. I'm not sure.
Well, I'm certainly looking forward to it.
Yeah, it'll be fun. I mean, it's, you know, already on my full plate. I finally figured out how to record things in my new setup here. And so I should be, I just need to sit down and grind out like the first 3 hours of the game so I can start putting up videos, because I know people really want to see them. It's just a matter of encoding them to 15-minute blocks and just getting them up on the YouTubes. And I think, I mean, a lot of times when I do videos, and this is something that we may actually end up getting, I get a lot of messages on my YouTube for it, but I guess it's appropriate talking about here. Like, people are wondering, like, do I do my audio after or before? Generally, I do my audio after, only because if, like, a run goes horribly wrong, like I get distracted or, I don't know, I'm not paying attention and I get blown up. Like, I don't want to upload, like, 4 minutes of me putting on a kiddie cart. So generally, I'll do my recording afterwards, and it usually only takes one or two tries. But I think for my Let's Play, I think I'm going to do it as a live Let's Play or a live commentary. And so there might be more mistakes. I mean, it's possible that people will see me dying, which has happened.
Oh, wow. That would be a first.
I wouldn't want to admit that. Well, there have been people. I mean, sometimes I have a really bad night, and I'm playing online, and I'll die like within like the first like 2 minutes, and people like laugh at me, but... That's the nature of the game, you know. Especially if you're online and you're gunning, you die in two hits. And if you get stunned and nobody like tries to knock you out of the way, you'll die.
Well, yes.
Okay. So next question. Let's knock them down one after a time. Let's go.
Yes. Okay. The next one. The next one is from Dave. He sent us on Tumblr a message. A very quick one. How do you get Seidus Armor Plus?
You need high rank parts.
Yeah, and you have to fight him in high rank, I would guess.
No, I mean, there's only a low rank. There's only a low rank Seideus.
Oh,
however you pronounce it. There's only one Seideus, and that's the one that you fight for your first 6-star urgent quest offline. After that, once you get into high rank, and I think it's really takes 6-star level quests. The high rank, well, I guess technically it's not a 6-star. I think you need high rank gen parts. I think most of it comes from high rank Gen. Gen Moran, the big, what do you call it? Big whale looking dude that you fight on the boat. You get a lot of his parts are used to make the high rank Seideus. There might be some Alatrion and Devil Joe parts. I haven't checked exactly, but generally that's what you're going to be aiming for. And I believe it's if you want to make pure the complete armor set of his, they're might be some low rank parts that are better than the high rank parts. So it's definitely something you want to go through our various armor episodes and listen to them in order to get the idea of what you should be doing to get the maximum level of usefulness out of your various parts there.
All right.
Armor pieces.
So there you go. You have to go and fight on high rank.
Even think about it until you've beaten Alatrion. Then you should be able to find the parts.
Okay. So the next question is from Anonymous, and it's also on Tumblr, and he asked, do you have any good low-rank bowgun setups that incorporate all the status sleep, paralysis, and poison?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, and with at least one element other than fire.
You are a jerk, Anonymous.
Well, that's a puzzle.
Okay. There, well, I really want to go to the wiki right now.
Well, you go ahead.
Okay, well, all right. I mean, so wait, is he talking about Bogun or Bogun armor set? He just wants to know what's a good Bogun to put together for all of the various parts.
Well, he doesn't say if it's about, no, I think he's referring to a Bogun, not the Bogun armor.
Okay, all right. Well, it's going to be something to do with thunder. I mean, thunder is really the only other element that you'd want, except for Let me think. Man, is there anything that you'd need water for?
Nah.
It's pretty much just fire and thunder, except for dragon, right? Let's see, the light bowgun frame, doesn't that have a lot of status shots? Okay, use the light bowgun frame, right? If you're going to be insisting on using all of the various status shots, as it seems that you are, and you want to combine the different elements on there at low rank, light bowgun frame, max it out, then attach your elements of choice. So that's going to be your Thundercrest barrel and Thundercrest stock, or your Royal Launcher barrel and your Royal Launcher stock. Ice is not available in low rank in any usable proximity, as far as I know. Fair enough?
All right.
That's what you get.
Excellent. So the next one is a email from, I can't pronounce this name. Hugo Met 1-0 Vanderkatsiev. And it should be his name. Anyway, he said, I was the guy who on the third episode asked the anonymous question about raw damage versus elemental damage. Ah, okay. So he has three questions, and I'm not going to go through all the entire emails.
It's like this will be our sixth viewer email. He has 20 questions.
Well,
sent to you in a bound appendix. Okay, go ahead.
but I must. Most of them are pretty simple. For example, the first question is he noticed that he's playing offline, and he noticed that there is a Rathalos quest to kill Rathalos. And after you kill him, another quest pops up with the same monster, but on a different environment,
different area.
Yeah.
So what that is he did the slaying quest in the volcano.
Yeah.
And after he beat that, it unlocked the capture quest in the deserted island, I believe. I could be wrong, but I believe it's...
Yeah, exactly. It's this one, yeah, exactly. I also made the same quest, yeah. And he was wondering, if this is a bug or something. I guess.
No. After you capture him, I believe you actually unlock one of the arena quests.
Oh.
Yeah, the way that you unlock all the arena quests offline for the offline arena is you complete the additional capture quests that appear after you've killed the monster for the first time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then you get the monster in the arena because you kind of capture it and it's supposed
right.
to be in
the arena. Then you can torture it and breed it or do whatever it is that they do with the monsters after you capture it.
Okay,
and
this is getting gross now. Ugh, breed.
Well, you capture one monster and yet you go to the arena and there's like a million of them. So
oh, yeah.
Either they're importing monsters or they're doing something with it.
Okay, then the second question is, he's fighting the Diabolos. And the Diabolos has one of those attacks where he jumps out of the ground, and sometimes you get stunned by this attack. You know, the ground starts shaking, and you start, your character starts,
wobbling around
exactly. And he was wondering how to avoid that attack.
Well, I mean, there's really only two ways to do it. I mean, you can either Superman dive. Timed correctly, or you can bring a weapon that can block, such as a sword and shield, or a great sword, or a lance, and just block it.
Is there? There's probably also a possibility to somehow jam in some kind of ability to avoid it, right?
It is, but the way you make it is by killing a lot of Diablos.
Oh, that's often the case. Okay, yeah. So Superman dive, for those people who don't know, is just basically dodging.
Well, you have to be while you're in a full sprint. If you'll dodge, you'll fly through the air. And generally, what you should be doing against Diablos if he's underground is just your weapon should be. I mean, if you're not going to be blocking it, your weapon should be away, and you should be running.
Yeah.
And as soon as he starts flying out of the air, or I should say she flying out of the air, because the fan consensus is that Diablos is a female, just dive. I mean, you should be fine. I mean, you should be far enough away that when you start seeing her flying out of the ground, you should start evading then. And as long as you're evading to the side, you'll be okay.
Yeah. And what I do is mostly I just take the lance because it's my favorite weapon anyway, and I'm just going to block her attacks.
Yeah, that's perfectly acceptable.
So the question is, he is almost at high rank, and he's wondering whether to go for the Rathalos armor. which is kind of difficult to get because you have to get the plate, or if it pays off to wait until he gets to high rank and go for the high rank Kurpeko armor.
Ooh. Well, both of those. Okay.
Because both grant very good fire protection.
Right. Well, low rank Rathalos armor is almost all of the entire set is good, even in high rank. Like, after you've upgraded the low rank set of Rathalos to high rank, in my opinion, it's better than the native high rank armor anyways. And so certainly if you take the time to farm out your low rank Rathalos set, that is not going to be time wasted because that will be helpful. However, when it comes time for the 5-star urgent quest of Rathalos and Raytheon anyways, you're going to need the low rank Kurapeko set unless you're really good or in a good team, because they will destroy you. Mm-hmm. They will murder you and you will die. And the high rank Kurapeko set is also really good throughout all of high rank. So either one of those sets are good. I would say go ahead and make your low rank Rathalos set and use it in your 4-star quests until you can get your full Kurapeko set.
All right. Well, I must say I'm using the low rank Raytheon? I'd always
Raytheon, probably the Raytheon.
Yeah, I'm using their low rank Raytheon armor, and I really like it. I mean, I don't have a comparison, so I don't know how the Kurapeko armor compares to that. But it was well worth getting it, and even if it's very difficult, you always learn a lot about the monster, so it always pays off in the long run.
Absolutely.
The next email is from Brady Harris, and he wrote us an email with the following question. I am having some trouble with deciding what to get for my first high rank armor. I am still using my fully upgraded low rank Rathalos, which doesn't provide enough protection. What would be a good set to get? I am already Hunter rank 45, and I feel kind of stupid still using low rank.
Hunter rank 45?
Yeah, that's hardcore, man.
How was that?
How did that happen?
Yeah. Well, the world is your oyster.
At this point, you should have enough items for pretty cool sets, I guess.
Well, I mean, really, he could just upgrade his low rank Rathalos set to high rank armor levels using Rathalos parts, and if he'll take the high rank Rathalos helm, which is going to take quite a while to get, because I believe you need a ruby for that.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
But aside from that, you use the full low rank set. I mean, that's a fine set. I mean, you've got attack up large and critical eye plus one, I believe. Maybe critical. I mean, and it's easily done and easily gemmed to get critical eye plus three, especially with that helmet from high rank put in. I mean, that would be my first advice, because, like, you're already there. You're already fighting Rathalos. And I would assume you've already killed him once. I mean, if you can't kill him at all, which I really wouldn't blame you, then go ahead and farm some Kurapekos so you can get some better fire resistance. Mm-hmm. But aside from that, just upgrade. I mean, and you can use your low rank upgraded to high rank armor Rathalos set forever. I mean, the only better raw damage set in the game is something with sharpness plus one on that.
Okay, and so what if he already did that?
What if he's already upgraded it? Oh, what are some other sets?
Yeah, so what if he's talking about, you know, a pure pure high rank set?
Well, I mean, he's so close to Hunter rank 51. He might as well start gearing up to getting something with sharpness plus one on it, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I mean, if he's going to be going up against a Latreon, I mean, high rank ingot is easy to get, and you don't really need many monster parts, and it's always helpful because you get wind resist high and a ton of slots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we already mentioned on the last show, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I would say those are his choices, is get high rank ingot, upgrade your set, or just wait until you're 51 and start working on, like, a Devil Joe set or some sort of mixed set with Cedius. Because it's sharpness plus one with one of the white sharpness weapons that upgraded it to the purple sharpness. Those are the highest damaging weapons in the game anyways. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
There you go. All right. And I think that's it. I think we managed to answer almost every question we have stored up.
And that feels like a very full-bodied show anyways.
Yeah. So thanks everybody who sent stuff in. We really appreciate it. And, you know, if you want to get in touch with us, simply write us an email to monsterhuntercast@googlemail.com or comment on our blog at monsterhunterpodcast.tumblr.com. And even you can get in touch with us recently, you know, on Monster Hunter Try. We have posted our IDs on our Tumblr blog as well. Unfortunately, there might be no show next week. We will do the recording, but I will go on vacation for 10 days right afterwards. So I don't know if I will have the time to edit the show. I will certainly try. Regardless, we wish you a good hunt. And remember, make sure you are not playing the Chinese version of Monster Hunter. Play the original. Hunter Blade.
Yeah, here it is, man.
It's hard to
play. That was it. I remembered it. Here we go.